With me for my edition of Farmer Friday this week, I've got Mike Jackson over there in the Oskaloosa area. Mike, thanks for being with me today on KIIC.
Yeah, beautiful day to have a phone conversation.
That's true. You know, doggone it, we know good and well that March means spring is going to be on the calendar, but whether it happens in front of us or not remains to be seen. But nevertheless, we're fortunate to, one, get some moisture, but goodness gracious, there's other parts of the state that really got hammered with that blizzard.
Yep. I'm trying to think what the end of February was like, because the old adage Grapple would say is, February goes out like a lion and March goes out like a lamb. So
yeah, and it holds true more than times than not. And of course, a blizzard during the girl state tournament is also a given as well. Hey, we know that you're on the no-till plan, which is fine. You are very, very pleased with what happens. Last time we talked, we got the harvest in there, but then right after the harvest you go ahead and start planting cover crops. Talk about how quickly you want to get that into the ground.
Ideally, we want to put the seed in the ground as soon as the combine leaves the field. Dad's kind of grumbled at me before because I would literally be out there chasing him with a 40-foot drill. He said that's just too much pressure on him to get the field done. But, ideally, we want to get as much growth on as we can, and you can't do that if the seed's in the bag instead of in the ground.
That's a good way to put it. And consequently, do you go with one species of plant for all your cover crops? Talk about that.
We've been looking around. We do predominantly rye, which is the most hardy for this part of Iowa. Looking into more and more of the wheat ahead of a corn crop, you don't get as much top growth, and you get a little bit of a different bacteria strand with the wheat growing compared to the rye each. They may both be in the grass family, but they're different species, so they bring different bacteria to the equation to help promote our soil health.
The beautiful thing about this cover crop is that it penetrates into the soil profile and opens up the profile to allow those roots to get down there and stretch and allow that aeration to happen in the soil. Have you ever dug a hole in terms of how far deep those roots have gone down?
Fixing tile, we've gone down and we followed the roots a long ways down. The other thing you got to talk about is the sugars at the root system and all of the positive insects and bacteria under the soil that's getting fed on that. I mean, we're all happier when our bellies are full, so that's the whole goal here is to have a healthy, happy soil.
Absolutely. And then talk about into the springtime, you've talked about that you'll take that plant and terminate it. Talk about that process.
Yep. So our plan will be go in with herbicide and we will terminate it. Depending on growth ahead of corn, we might get in there 7 days before we plant. Normally we're within 2 days one way or the other. If you get too close, if you get closer than 2 days one way or the other, the plant has to have time to rebound after either getting hit by the chemical or by the planter, and you can actually hinder your termination of it.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because if you put that glyphosate down, it may get into the root system and cause problems for the corn plant unless it's resistant to that glyphosate then.
We're not so much worried about that. I'm trying to kill that rye, and if I go out the sprayer immediately after Dad leaves the field with the corn planter, the rye is trying to recover, no different than if you get a paper cut, you're in recovery mode. So your body is kind of fighting off more antibodies at that point, so then it won't absorb the Roundup to terminate the cereal rye.
Gotcha. So you mentioned the word tiling when you've looked at root structure down there in the profile. Did you do any tiling this fall?
Did. We pattern tiled a flat field that had been on the agenda to do for a while. This open fall gave us the opportunity to get out there and do it and still be timely on our harvest. I do live in Spring Creek Township, so we do have a fair amount of moisture to work with.
I'm talking with Mike Jackson from my edition of Farmer Friday this week. He's over there by Oskaloosa there, over by the Isaac Walton area, and talking about the cover crops that they do with their implementing with their no-till system that we have. With the winter just about wrapping up, has time on her hands sometimes for shop projects. Talk about your shop projects that you had.
Yeah, we've been fortunate. We got a John Deere B, which would be a same model that my dad's grandpa had when my father growing up. So we're trying to bring some history back into the farm. The other thing we're doing other than shop projects is we're going out and we're examining the cereal rye or the wheat for winter kill, because we did have a cold, hard open winter before all the snow came, and that kind of set some of that back.
Yeah, when you talk about the word open, you mean it wasn't covered with that snow. Snow provides that insulation to help that. So did you find anything out there?
Yeah, we got one field. It'll be determined once things really start greening up. This rain we had ahead of this last snow event was a warm, 50 degrees is on the warmer side compared to 30.
So right.
Things were starting to green back up, so now the thing will be is the first part of next week when all this snow disappears and it's solid enough to be out there walking around, we'll go out and we'll do some hula hoop checks to do plant stands and plant counts to see. And then that'll also give us an idea on the amount of glyphosate or the timing of getting it out there to terminate this cover crop.
And when you talk about the hula hoop, you're actually taking the hula hoop toy, putting it down on the ground and counting the items that are inside that hula hoop. Then you pick it up and you go to another place, and basically you're just getting an average of those readings that you have inside that hula hoop, right?
Yep. I believe it's a 26-inch hula hoop divided by 32,000 is one, essentially 1 acre, and that will tell me how many plants are an average over that acre.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting that some kid's toy is utilized to help you make some decisions or find out information about agricultural crops. We know you're heavily involved with the Farm Bureau as well. Talk about some things that you're involved with the Mahaska County Farm Bureau.
Yeah, so Ag in the Classroom, I'm a farmer friend to a fifth grade class there at the Oskaloosa School District, where we try to meet once a month and talk about different aspects of the farm, what's going on that approximate time of the year. We met with them. We got a date coming up. The last time we met was mid towards the end of February. We had a nice sunny day, went up on top of the grain bin, showed them the grain in the bin and talked about the test weight, and then had them do some math and figuring to figure how many bushels was in that 36-foot bin. And then we multiplied that by the current value to giving them idea how many dollars is sitting there.
That's great, because that's basically a STEM type of curriculum using them math skills that you have. And I was going to ask, more times than not, you probably have field trips, quote unquote, with those kids as opposed to going into the classroom itself.
Yeah, that's the beauty of technology. Karen Adams, our Ag in the Classroom coordinator here in Mahaska County, comes out with an iPad. She can bring a whole class of kids with her, essentially in her pocket, if you will, a ha-ha there. And then we're able to go inside the hog building without worry about biosecurity, take them in the shop and have them all be able to look at one fine point on my air seeder, or grab them and throw them in the combine cab and let's go pick some corn, kids.
That is just outstanding, because that means that these younger kids have a better appreciation of what does happen in agriculture.
They're amazed at the amount of math that a farmer does on a day-to-day basis.
You are correct. Truth be told, it is a very vital part of the agricultural output that farmers have, is utilizing those math skills. I've been talking with Mike Jackson for my edition of Farmer Friday this week. Mike, thank you so much again for being with me here on KIIC.
Always a pleasure, Pat.
And, of course, our listeners, you can go back and listen to this podcast all over again. Go to our website, www.kiicradio.com. Select that audio vault that's at the top banner there, and on the right side, you'll see this Farmer Friday podcast, and you can listen to a little bit or all of it in its entirety.